Did you turn your assignments in once we fought over them and I made sure they were in your possessions when you left the house? Did you remember to turn them in at school? She is too busy to be worried about small things like homework and school. She hates helping around the house. If you ask her to do anything around the house, she thinks you're punishing her. She's a typical 13-year-old. But Hannah loves cheerleading. She goes to practice 2 times a week for 2 hours and never once says, "I can't do it," or "I'm tired." She's on the floor and she gives it 110% for 2 solid hours, 2 times a week. She wouldn't miss it for the world. Hannah goes, so she can be a cheerleader, she goes to gymnastics another night of the week and she works out for 2 hours at gymnastics so she can cheer the 2 hours 2 times a week. She practices with her friends incessantly. You cannot be around Hannah for 15 minutes that she's not breaking out into a cheer. Give it up, Hannah. Every Friday night while her friends are off to the movies, Hannah's at games cheering. Saturday morning, she wakes up early, a 13-year-old who wakes up early to go to basketball games so she can cheer for 3 hours. She loves cheering. She sent me a picture recently. She won, their squad won 2nd place in state competition. She was very proud of that. But it is not the rewards that makes Hannah do the things that she does. There wouldn't be enough reward. There wouldn't be enough awards to get her to do all the things that she has to do in order to cheer. It is for the love of cheering that Hannah does what Hannah does for cheering. How many people would be around us for more than 15 minutes and hear us speak of our faith? That would go to this much trouble to be built up and strong in our faith. It is not the rewards that we're looking for, even though those are nice. And it will be nice to have a crown of life, and it will be nice to have a crown of righteousness and a crown of glory. Those will be great things to have, and I look forward to them. But it is not the idea of those rewards that motivates me in my faith. It is the love of God that motivates me in my walk. Because I promise you, I think most of us in this room would agree that if it were for the love of the rewards that we get, we would sit this one out a lot of times. But it is for the love of God. It is for the love of God that we endure the struggles and the opportunities that we have. And it is God saying back to us today, "I am your very great reward." Let's look at a few characters in the Bible that magnify this, "I am your great reward." Let's look where we are right now in Genesis 15 when he's talking to Abram. A little bit further in this chapter, he talks about, "Abram, I'm going to make you a nation." And Abram says to God, "But God, how can you make me a nation? How can you make me as numerous as the stars in the sky?" He takes him outside and he says, "Look up into the stars. Look up into the sky and see the stars. How many of them can you count?" And he says, "I'm going to make you as numerous as the stars in the sky." And Abram says to God, "How can you do this when I have no children? And my inheritance will go to a servant." And God says, "No, it won't. It'll come from a child of your own body." Well, we know the story. They get together and they kind of make out their own plan. It's not God's plan, and God has to come in and kind of make up the difference for their plan. And we live with that today. But the idea is, that God said to Abram, I'll make you as numerous as the stars in the sky when he had no children. I'll make you as numerous as the sands on the sea when he had no children. Abram could not have understood what God was saying when God says, I am your very great reward. He didn't know the finish. He didn't know the children of Israel. He didn't know the 12 tribes. He didn't know the children of Israel. He didn't know the nation of Israel. He didn't know about all the things that were still to lay in front of him. He had no idea. What do you mean by the idea, I'll make you as numerous as the stars in the sky? He wound up with two sons. When he died, he wound up with two sons. He had no idea the great reward that God was talking about here. In your life right now, there's things going on that you will not see fulfilled in this lifetime. Just like we don't see the crown of life fulfilled in this lifetime, or the crown of righteousness, or the crown of glory. But we do see my great reward is in God. It is for the love of God that we do what we do. If we look at the benefits, see, if Abram had looked at the benefits, the blessings, if he had looked at the awards of God, and he would have taken his focus off of the great reward of God, he would have looked at the blessings and said, oh, this is my reward. The blessings of God are not our rewards. They are our awards. God awards us his blessings out of his great reward for us. If we get focused, if Abram had gotten focused on the blessing of God, which is magnificent, but it's not enough. It's like Hannah. It's not enough to keep you motivated all the times for the blessings of God. Because the blessings of God sometimes are sparingly in our lives, or they are periodically in our lives. So what keeps us going in the other times when we can't see the hand of God? Not that God is in our lives and out of our lives. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the subtleties of God sometimes are in the background behind us and we don't see them being fulfilled. And if we get hooked on the blessings of God as the favor of God, if we get caught on those things, then when those are not happening and we transfer the awards of God into the reward of God, then what happens when we aren't being rewarded? What happens when we aren't receiving awards? What keeps you going on when you aren't seeing the blessings manifested and strong enough in our own lives to be able to say, this is a blessing of God? God is blessing us every day, all the time, just like Marty prayed about the blessings of the creation. But the idea that if we get caught up on the blessings of God as the rewards of God versus the awards of God, then we get things mixed up and then it's really easy to get mad at God. It's real easy to say, where are you? Track with me just a little bit longer. I promise I'll try to make it clearer. I can see on your faces a little bit of confusion on what I'm saying. There is a difference for me in this scripture that says, I am your great reward, than I am your rewarder. Or I give you things, and therefore, it's the things that keep you motivated to serve me. I don't think there's a person in this room that would say that. We are motivated by the love of God. And God is our very great reward. If we look at another story in the Bible, if you'll turn with me to Samuel, 2 Samuel 7:16. Second Samuel 7:16. This is the story of David desiring to build a house, a temple for God. This is the story of Nathan going back to David and saying, David, you are not the chosen one to build the house of God. David gets a message from God in chapter 7 that starts in verse 16. And it goes to the end of the story about how God is going to favor David. Your house verse 16, it says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now the story is greater than that. And you probably already know the story of how David then recites back to God, how could you care so much for me and my family that you would do this? God is speaking to David and he's saying, I will establish your throne forever. There'll never be a time when there is not a descendant of the King of David sitting on the throne. Now, David does not know about Jesus. In here, the only thing David knows about is the next generation and the next generation. The idea of God rewarding him, the idea of God awarding him with a promise that always there will be a king from the lineage of David sitting on the throne. He doesn't know what we know. We're looking back through history. We know about Jesus and we know that he is a descendant of David and that he does sit on the throne eternally. David doesn't know that. He only knows the physical. David could have taken up the idea that this is my reward for a faithful life loving God. But God is saying, I am your great reward, and out of my greatness, I give you this award, this blessing of a throne that always has the King of David sitting upon it. David could have looked at it and gotten things mixed up and says, out of my goodness, out of my faithfulness to God, he is rewarding me with this promise that forever there will be a King of David sitting on the throne. But God was saying, David, I am your great reward. And out of my reward, I award you this favor, this blessing, this promise. In your life today, if you're facing a problem or a circumstance, or you're facing tremendous promise and prosperity and goodness and things are going great for you, it is not because of your goodness that you receive that. It is out of God's great reward that you have that. He's awarding you out of his great love for you. Because the struggles that we have are the opportunities that we have are the positions that we find ourselves in. If we look and say, God, reward me with a good marriage and a faithful husband. And I look at that and I think, I've got a good husband and he's faithful and I've got a good marriage and that's God's reward for me. No, that's a blessing of God out of his greatness to you. Because of God's love for us, he allows good things in our lives, but he also allows not so good things. Let's take this example right here. A godly marriage and a faithful husband. This is not my reward for loving God and serving God and reading my Bible and going to church and faithfully doing Bible studies and singing and praising and praying and standing. That's not my reward. My reward is God. And out of his love for me, he awarded me this. Because there is no time that I can count on this remaining. This could easily happen like that. And it would be gone. Now where is God? If I thought this was my reward, where is he now when I don't have the reward? This is my blessing. Because this can change at any moment. I am your great reward. In the midst of blessing, I am your great reward. In the midst of trials, I am your great reward. In the midst of things of uncertainty, I am your great reward. So if we look, if we take our eyes off of in the middle of our prayers, Lord, I have this need. And if you meet that need, then I've been rewarded. I can get my eyes off of the reward, God, and I can get it on the awards. And my focus then becomes out of the awards, I love God and I serve God. And if he isn't awarding me, then I get confused with the blessings of God and the reward of God. Let's go one more place. Is it beginning to get a little clearer as I... God is our great reward. Let's look one other place. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 through 19. You know the story? This is Jesus telling Peter. That he'll be the rock of the church. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you." Peter had just said, "You are the Son of God." "This was not to reveal to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Peter, at that moment in time, had no way of understanding that we would be the church. The church universal, the church individually, the church corporately, the church individually. He did not understand the church. The church wasn't in existence at that time. It hadn't even begun to be formed yet. But God is looking at him and he's saying, I'm going to award you as the rock of the church. And on you, on the word of God, on the message that will go out, I will build my church. And we are a testimony to that promise. But Peter didn't understand that promise. I'm sure Peter thought, okay, you're going to build a group of people around me, kind of like I see you with your disciples around you. I don't know what Peter would have thought about the word church. But the concept is easy for us because we look back through all of the history and we see, oh, we are the church. We are the universal church, we are the corporate church, and we are the individual church. So it's an easy interpretation for us to understand that as we read that. But Jesus was saying to Peter, I am your great reward, and out of me will flow these blessings. And if you keep your focus on the reward that I am, then the awards will not get you confused about who you're serving and what you will be in the future. As much as you and I in today do not understand all that is that God is working in our lives and around our lives and through our lives, so must we realize when we read these scriptures, even though we know the end story. They did not know the end story. Let's look at one more. Let's look at in your life right now. You have children who are happy and healthy. And you are blessed and awarded this blessing of God, this favor of God. But what happens if your children all of a sudden become teenagers and they're not happy and healthy anymore, or even helpful anymore? What happens when your child comes home with an unexpected pregnancy? What happens when your child, you find pornography on the computer, or you've been on MySpace and you find out they're sneaking out at night? What happens when this is no longer true? What you thought was a reward for your faithfully taking your child to Sunday school every single Sunday, faithfully being in Girl Scouts, or faithfully taking them to Boy Scout troops, faithfully sending them to summer camps, a Christian camp, faithfully sending them off to a university that was a Christian university. What happens when that is no longer true? If this is your reward, then what happened to God? God was only the rewards. God was only the nice house and the nice neighborhood that all of a sudden isn't there because your husband lost his job, or you lost your job, or the fact that you had to go into foreclosure over no fault of your own, or this wonderful dream that you had that you thought was your reward for all your faithful service to God is no longer part of that. What happens to God? If this is your reward, where's God? Good relationships with my family. I like my kids. My kids like me. I like my parents. I even like my in-laws. I have a good relationship with my brothers and my sisters. I have a good relationship with my family. I work hard at it. I call them, even they don't call me. I send them birthday cards, even though they forget mine and it's 2 weeks late. I have a good relationship. If this is my reward for all of the diligent things that I do, then what happens when they don't send me a birthday card? Or what happens when they forget to call me when they were in the hospital for 4 days and I was the only one in the family who didn't know about it because I'm in Colorado? I have a good relationship. But if this is my reward, then what happens when that doesn't work out that way? But if I can stay focused on the fact that out of God's love for me, I receive awards. I receive blessings and favor. I receive the goodness of God. When I'm not receiving the goodness of God, then He's still my great reward. When I'm struggling, He's still my very great reward. Because I can keep my eyes focused on God as my reward. Not I serve God to get to be the father of many nations. I'm not serving God for that. Just like Hannah doesn't go to practice 3 and 4 times a week to get a second place award for her team in competition. That's good. She loves the fact that she gets to wear the cute little uniform. She loves the fact that she gets to cheer in front of the crowd. But that's not enough to motivate her to do all the things that she does, not at 13. And it's not enough to motivate us to serve God with all of our lives, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with all of our heart, if we're just looking for awards when He is our great reward. Right? Notes. I want you to turn one more place with me. If I can find my notes, I'll tell you where to go. Here it is. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 24, 6 and 7. I've used this many times. But in the meantime, I want you to answer this question. What do you do with what I just told you? What do I do to take it outside of this room and apply it in my life? In the weeks that I've been studying this lesson, I've been working on this you are my very great reward. Because I have a tendency to look at awards and blessings and favor to measure God's love back to me. And I have a tendency to, when God's favor is on me, to feel very loved by God. And when God's favor is not on me, to wonder, how have I missed him? I really haven't missed him. It may be a season, it may be a time, it may be circumstances outside of my own control, it may be just life in general coming along down the road and it collides head on with me. I usually get in its way, by the way. But anyway, what are you going to do with this? I would ask you that the next time you're facing something that isn't favorable, that you say, God, I know that you are my very great reward. I know that I have security in my relationship with you. I know that I am saved. I know that you love me. I know that I am the apple of your eye. I know that you delight in me. I know that you have blessed me in the past and you will bless me in the future. I know you're faithful, just like we sang today. Great is your faithfulness, God. So in the midst of this, that's not going like I want it to, and I wanted the award of it. I see that it isn't really working that way, but I know this. You are my very great reward. I don't understand what you're really telling me in this circumstance or in this situation. I'm not really tracking with you, God, but I know that you are my very great reward. And out of that greatness, you will see me through. Because your word promises that you never leave me or forsake me. Your word promises that you would give me peace that passes understanding in the midst of chaos. In the midst of the uncertainty, I know you'll make a way for me. You'll make the mountains low. You'll make the valleys high. You'll make straight my path and solid my footprints. Because it says it in your word. And I know that you are my very great reward. And I know that in all of life's circumstances, that fact is true. That you are my very great reward. Not the awards, not the blessings, though they are nice and we do enjoy them. Not the favors, not the when everything's going right, you're God, and when everything's going wrong, where are you? But you are my very great reward. If we look in Jeremiah and we look at chapter 24 and we read this verse 6, God says, my eye will watch over you for your good. I will bring you back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me with all of their heart. If we take that verse in the midst of life, and we say to God, I believe this verse. I believe this verse that you have not uprooted me in this situation, but you've planted me. That you're good to me. And that you will bring me back. And that place may be back to a place of stability. That may be back to a place of joy in the midst of whatever's going on. But God is our great reward. And I bless you, women of faith. I bless you, women of God, with this prayer out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge, in depth of insight, so that you will be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen.